You know, there's a great truth found in the Word of God, which actually goes the opposite of what the world thinks. The truth is this, that freedom comes by obedience to the Word of God. We are truly free when we live by the truths and the principles that God has given to us by our great God and our Creator. Now, the world thinks just the opposite. The world says that freedom is when you do whatever you want to do. That nobody can tell you what to do, nobody can tell you what is right or what is wrong or what you're supposed to do or what not supposed to do. This is freedom. This is what they call freedom. But it's really not freedom. Because we find that whenever we fulfill the desires of the flesh, whenever we live by what we want to do, there is bondage. The flesh can never bring freedom. It only brings bondage. We find in this passage that false teachers promise freedom. We'll see it as we go through it. But a life lived in the flesh will not bring freedom, but it will bring bondage. So as we continue, we're going to see Peter's description of these false teachers, what they're like. In fact, as he does this, he talks about how they promise the freedom, but they actually bring bondage. And this is why they're called false teachers. And we'll see this. As we begin, let's just remember where we are. We're studying, of course, through 2 Peter. And as we move into chapter 2, the entire chapter 2 deals with false teachers. If you remember, chapter 1 was he wanted you to live for Jesus Christ and to have a great entrance into the kingdom and the rewards and make a difference for Christ. But when we got into chapter 2, he began to talk about false teachers. In fact, entire chapter, all 22 verses, basically deals with false teachers, what they do and what they're like and those kind of things. If you want to, just open up your bulletin and inside there, there's that insert. It's yellow, as we'd say it's pale yellow today. And if you want to pull that out, and I have four things taking this chapter, dividing them into four different little sections. Four things about false teachers. What they do, what is their end, what are they like, and who do they affect, who do they go after? Well, we have already seen these two or three of these, and we're going to see more as we go through them. But let's just be reminded of what we've seen. We've seen what do? Well, first of all, they bring in heresies. They bring in false teaching. False teaching within the body of Christ. They deny Jesus Christ and they deny the truths of the Scripture. And the final thing that they do is they exploit people. In fact, as we saw it, they exploit people for money. That's one of the signs. Then the second thing that we saw when we looked at verses 4 through 9 is what is their end? What is their judgment? And basically, the bottom line is God's going to judge the false teachers. And he gave three examples from the Old Testament of how God judged wickedness. He talked about the angels of sin, he talked about the world before the flood, and he talked about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And his bottom line was, if God judged those people at those times, their wickedness, God will judge the wicked false teachers. Then as we got into section 3, which is where we are even now, we talk a little bit about what they're like, and we're looking at verses 10 through 19. And it's really divided into two sections. There are two parts. Verses 10 through 15 and 16 through 19. In 10 through 15, there are six things listed. And then in 16 through 19, there are six things listed. And they're the same thing. So he talks about them. And that's why this morning we'll go fairly quickly through verses 16 through 19. But right in the middle is what we looked at last week. Verses 15 and 16 dealt with the story of Balaam. And we'll mention that just as we go through it this morning. The fourth thing, who do they affect? Unstable people. That's verse 14. I'm talking about believers who have not grown. Believers who are not grounded in the truths of God's Word, and when false teachers come, they tell them things, and they believe these things. And we're going to also see this morning verses 20, 21, and 22. Sometimes these verses are taken in a different way, but we're going to show you that they're talking about believers who have people who have trusted in Christ, who have then been caught up in false teaching and turn away from the truths of God's Word, and they go back to living the way they used to live before they were believers. Now, they're still believers, and we'll talk about it as we go through all of this. Well, let's begin. Let's remember what we saw last week. Right in the middle there in verses 15 and 16, he talked about the false teachers, and he described them as following the way of Balaam. And remember Balaam? Balaam was this prophet, of course, who wanted to get money for his prophecies. And that's what the false teachers are like, and that's what they do. In fact, if you look at verses 15 and 16, he says, forsaking the right way, they've gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he received a rebuke for his own transgression from a dumb donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrained the madness of the prophet. Now, if you have that insert, you don't have to look at it anymore, but there are six things we're going to see as we go through the rest of these verses, at least through verse 19. They're the same six that we already saw, and this is how he describes false teachers. Let me just tell you this. If you want to know, how do I know when I turn on the television, how do I know when I read a book or a magazine or I hear somebody on the radio, how do I know if they're a false teacher? There are six things that Peter tells you that you can look for. And we'll see it as we go through. The first one, as we've been seeing already, is the fact that they're greedy. They do what they do for money. Go back again to verses 15 and 16. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. The bottom line, he says, is that false teachers are just like Balaam. Balaam loved money. He wanted to do ministry so he could get paid. He caused Israel to sin for money. And he says the false teachers do the same thing. They want you to do wrong. They want to fool you so they can get your money. That is one of the keys. Notice it says they have forsaken the right way and have gone astray. I've said this over and over, but I do not want you to forget this. False teachers know that what they are teaching is contrary to the Bible. And we've talked about that before, but and I've said, let me just clear something up. There are people who teach the Bible or who try to teach the Bible, let's say it that way, and sometimes they make some mistakes. They don't know something. That's not a false teacher. That's a person who just made a mistake or maybe hasn't put it all together. A false teacher is a person who knows what they teach is not found in the Scripture. They know what they teach is contrary to the Word of God. It says they have forsaken the right way and they have gone astray. That's a false teacher. It says, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. They do what they do for unrighteous money, meaning they do money for sin. I mean, that's what it's all about. They want this money and they cause people to sin. If you remember verse 16, and we'll just touch on it, it said he received a rebuke for his own transgression from a dumb donkey. Now that's a donkey, and he's speaking with the mouth of a man. We went back to the Old Testament last week in Numbers 22 and some other places, and we saw that God actually allowed a donkey to speak to warn Balaam. Balaam was on his way to get the money. God had already told him not to go. He couldn't curse Israel. That was his plan. And God opened the mouth of a donkey to actually stop him because there was an angel of the Lord preparing to kill Balaam. That was a powerful passage, and that's what it says. So the first thing that you see about these false teachers, and we'll go fairly quickly, is they're greedy. They want money. The second thing is they're deceitful. Look at verse 17. These are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Springs without water, mist driven by storms. They're deceitful because they're not what they appear. They don't do what they say. They're not what they promise. They're not what they deliver. They don't deliver what they say. They don't tell you the truth. They're springs without water. Now, what do you expect when you look for a spring? You look for water, but they're springs without water. They're not what they appear to be. I mean, when you go and they say there's a spring over there and you go, you expect to find water. Well, you expect to find truth. A false teacher is deceitful. They're not telling the truth. False teachers lie. They talk about life and they talk about things, but they're not true. They're not based on the Scripture. They are called a mist driven by storm. Now, when a storm comes, you expect more than a mist of water. You expect a lot of rain. And what he says is, they're not what you expect. You see the big storm coming, you think, oh, it's going to be a lot of rain. Just a mist? That's not what you expected. You expect to find a spring over there and you go and there's no water. They never deliver what they promise. False teachers, they fool many people. They appear to be one thing, but they're not. They talk about truth, but they don't have the truth. They talk about life, but they can't bring life or give life. They talk about righteousness, but they live unrighteously. They appear to be teachers of the truth because sometimes they say things. They'll talk about, we'll see it in just a minute under the aspect of prideful. They come with their message and they say, we're the only ones right. So be careful. They're greedy. They're deceitful. The third thing is that they're bound for destruction. That's their end. Look what he says at the end of verse 17. He says, from whom the black darkness has been reserved. Now, it's very plain, and it's hard to say it, but it's very plain that God is going to judge the false teachers. And apparently, the way we can see in the flow of this passage, these false teachers are not believers, and reserved for them is the darkness, the black darkness, which we would talk about the outer darkness. The Bible talks about a time or a place in which people who do not put their faith in Christ will be separated from Him forever. People call that hell. The Bible doesn't use the word hell. The Bible calls it the lake of fire. It also describes it as the place of outer darkness. Well, this is it. And he says that these unbelieving, false teachers who have led people astray, who have tried to basically do their thing for money and exploit people, one day they will be judged because reserved for them is the place of darkness. I want you to understand something, that false teachers and people who do wrong and people who do these kind of things and reject Christ, you never get away with that. You never get away with that. James says, be careful if any person wants to be a what? a teacher. They get the stricter judgment. These are false teachers. They're greedy. They're deceitful. They're destined for destruction. There's one more here, and that's prideful. Look at the next verse. He says, for speaking out arrogant words of vanity. They're people of pride. The false teachers are prideful. In fact, that is one of the marks of the false teachers. Go back to the first sin. What was the first sin? It was Satan's rebellion against God. What caused that? Pride. What caused mankind's fall? It was pride. Because Satan said to Adam and Eve, you will be like God. They thought, I want to be like God, knowing good and evil. Over and over, one of the marks of the false teachers are pride. They come and they say, we have the information. We have the only information. We have the right information. Nobody else has this information. We have a secret information. In fact, at the time this was written in the first century, there were a group of people called Gnostics. Comes from the Greek word gnosko, which means to know. And they had a higher revelation. They said, we know things that's beyond the Bible. They were called the Gnostics. And they were trying to tell people that that's kind of Gnostic sounding, isn't it? Do I need to go to a different mic? Are you? I'm fine. Okay. I don't feel fine, but I don't look fine either, do I? No. Let's talk about those Gnostics as we think about them. There are people even today that have a false message, and they say that they're the right ones. Now, there's some people that will come to you and they'll say, you know what you need? You need this book so that you can know truth. Now, this is another testament of Jesus Christ. So they'll come and they'll say, we have this magazine, which we call the Watchtower, that you're going to have. Or that you can go to our reading room because our founder, Mary Baker Eddy, came up with information that nobody else knows, and you've got to know that. Or we've got this information that nobody else has given. Or as I told you, you see people, it'll be on the television, and suddenly they'll get direct revelation from God and turn to the audience and say, some of you out there are to give money, and you know who you are. God just told me you're going to give certain amounts. David Koresh had his own information. So be careful. They are prideful because they have their own thing. They think they're the right ones. The next thing is they're fleshly. Now watch this one. It says in verse 18, for speaking out arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality. Now that's where I'll stop because we're going to see something else in just a second. But that's what they do. They entice with the flesh. That's one of the keys of the false teachers, the pull of the flesh to entice people, to pull people. They're controlled by the flesh and they try to attract people by the flesh. It says by sensuality, which usually has to do with sexual desires. Now, for the next little bit in this passage, he's going to talk about some people that they go after. Notice the very end of this verse. He says, for speaking arrogant words of vanity, they entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality, those who barely escape from the ones who live in error. He lists two people here, two types of people. Those who barely escape and those who live in error. Now, apparently, those who barely escape, he's talking about believers. And I think when he says barely escape, it literally in the Greek says who just escape. And I think it means that they're young believers. The people that the false teachers go after are those who are not grounded. We already saw back in verse 14, the unstable believers. They go after the people who don't know the Scripture. There are a lot of believers that do not know the Scripture. There are people who have been in church all of their lives and they do not know the Scripture. And when he says they go after those who just barely escape, I think he's talking about people who are unstable, who are new, who are young believers, who don't know, and they come after them. Now, he compares them with those who live in error. There are already people that they deal with that are already following them. The people who are just unstable, they're going after them. And that is a truth. In fact, if you think back at verse 14, it says, enticing unstable souls. That's a key. They go after people who are, we might say, haven't grown yet, are very new. That is a key. That is why every one of us in this room, you must know the Word of God. You must understand it. You must be able to put it together so that you can be grounded, so that you won't be like Ephesians 4, which says, no longer being children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every sleight and trickery of man. Listen, if you read the Bible and you hear one guy say one thing and another guy say the opposite, and if you're going back and forth, you're one of those unstable ones. You're one of those that hadn't grown yet. You ought to be able to know the Scripture so that when God says this, if it doesn't correspond to the Scripture, you ought to be able to say, that doesn't match. You've got to be able to do that. That's why we teach the Bible verse by verse, passage by passage. That's why we have our 4:12s, our 2:2s, our Sunday schools, where you have opportunities to come together with other believers and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now he says, they speak arrogant words of vanity. They entice by fleshly desires, by sensuality. They go after those who barely escape from the ones who live in error. They go after them. Now here is the key. And here's one of their issues. Promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For what? By what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. They go to people and they promise them freedom. They say, listen, if you just follow us, you'll be free. You'll be able to do what you want to do. You'll be able to live the life the way you want to live it. It says they promise them freedom, but they themselves are what? Slaves of corruption. By whatever a person has overcome, that's why you're enslaved. And so they come to people and they say, listen, you want to be free? You just get in our group and you can do whatever you want. And just remember this, if you follow the flesh, if you do whatever you want, you're going to be in bondage. It says they are slaves of corruption, that's slaves of sin. The flesh can never bring you freedom. It'll always bring you slavery. If you really want to be free, you come under the authority of the Word of God and obey that. Freedom is not doing what we want to do, but doing what pleases God, living by the Scripture. That's one of the marks of the cults, one of the marks of the false teachers. They promise you freedom. You don't have to have any restrictions. Rodney Cooper, in his book, Shoulder to Shoulder, talks about three ways you can know you're in bondage while you're thinking you may be in freedom. Number one, he says, there's just certain things you can't say no to, that our compulsions give us great pleasure, and that we keep getting pulled deeper and deeper and deeper. Sometimes people say, I'm free to drink anything I want. I'm free to do this, and I'm free to do this. And there's a lot of freedom in the Scripture. But we're never free to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because once you fulfill the lust of the flesh, you're in bondage. And that's what he talks about. And look at the end of this verse. He says, By what a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. When you get controlled by the flesh, you're in bondage. We're overcome by the flesh, we are in bondage. And that's what he's talking about. Now, there's one last, that way he describes them, and he describes them as impure, and it's still back in that verse when he says that they are slaves of corruption. They're impure. They're sinful people. So let's think for just a second about what we've seen on these false teachers. They're greedy. They're deceitful. They're meant for destruction. They're prideful. They're fleshly. And they're impure. That's the same six things that we saw in verses 10 through 15. He said the same thing twice, using different ways of describing them, but he wanted these people to make sure, these believers to make sure they knew what to look for. Let me tell you, sometimes I talk to some people and I say, boy, you know, chapter 2 is long. I'll be glad when we get through it. And I think to myself, though, well, there's a reason that Peter spent an entire chapter dealing with this issue. And if we think that false teachers were the issue then, but not the issue now, we're mistaken. There are false teachers everywhere. False teachers starting all the way from an incorrect gospel that they know is incorrect to the teachings that I mentioned even earlier. So they are out there, and we must be grounded in the truth of God's Word. As we end this section, I want to show you these three verses that oftentimes are taken, I think, in the wrong way. Now, look at verses 20, 21, and 22. Let me read this for you. Listen what it says. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then they are again entangled in them, in the defilements of the world, and are overcome by the flesh and the defilements of the world, the last state has become worse than the first. The question that we have to ask as we look at verse 20, who is he talking about there? Is he talking about false teachers, or is he talking about believers? I think as you look at the context of the passage and how he puts it together, I think he's talking about believers. He says they have escaped the defilements of the world. How? By the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that in just a second. What he's saying in this passage, and it is a hard thing, but he's saying there are sometimes there are believers who are not grounded, who have not grown. They've trusted in Christ as Savior. They've escaped the foulness of the world in that sense because they've trusted in Christ. But then they become entangled again in the world and in the flesh. They bought into the teaching of the false teachers. And before you know it, they're in trouble. And he goes on to say that their last state is worse than their first state. And we'll talk about what that means as we go through it. So I want you to, as you look at this passage, and as I read these verses, remember he's talking about believers who have listened to the false teachers and have gotten caught up in their teaching and have fallen away from the truth. Now, let me raise this question for you. Can a believer fall away from the truth? The answer is yes. Now, there's some people who will tell you that if you're a Christian and then you don't live like a Christian, you never were a Christian. They are wrong. You can put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and you can have eternal life and you're saved forever and you can choose to live in the flesh and you can choose to follow things that are wrong and you can live in that. Many of you have experienced that. I've experienced that. So don't let anybody come to you and say, if you don't live the way you ought to live, you're probably not a Christian. If you have put your faith in Christ as your Savior, if you have trusted in Him for eternal life, you are saved and you are saved forever. Now he's talking about believers who actually get back entangled with this false teaching in the flesh. What happens to them? Look at verse 20. He says this, "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ," we'll stop there. It says, after they have escaped the defilement of the world, this pollution of the world. And, you know, the believers are in the world, but we're not of the world. The Bible tells us that. Now, how did they escape it? Notice what he says, by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every time Peter uses the word knowledge, and he uses epignosko, which is a Greek word that means full knowledge, not just I know about Jesus Christ. He's talking about he knows Christ, and we'd say he knows Christ as Savior. He says, how in the world do you escape the world? You escape it by putting your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. He says, now, if that's true, if they've done that, and they have, and they are again entangled in them, in the things of the world, and are overcome, and in the flow of this passage, overcome by the flesh and being controlled, the last state has become worse than the first. He says, if they have escaped, and then they get caught back up into the things of the world and the flesh and the pool, and they've been overcome by that, it's actually worse for them than it was. Now, let's talk about that. Remember what the false teachers do? They entice the flesh. They promise freedom. They bring bondage. They're slaves to corruption. You get overcome. And he's saying, if you're a believer who gets overcome and lives in the flesh, that's worse than your former state. And it is. I want you to understand, it is worse for a believer to live like an unbeliever than for an unbeliever to live like an unbeliever. It is worse. It is a worse condition. Now, the unbeliever doesn't know any better. The unbeliever only fulfills the lust of the flesh. That's how they live. They live in a fallen world. They're part of the world. But for a believer to put their faith in Christ, become a child of God, be set apart, and then live as they were an unbeliever, it is a worse situation. You know what? They lose their testimony. They lose their rewards. And they're going to be disciplined by God. It is worse than their other state. Now, this doesn't mean they're not children of God. This doesn't mean they're not going to heaven and have eternal life. That's by faith. He's saying that if they get entangled and live like the world, it's a worse state than the other because now they're believers who live in like unbelievers. It's very powerful. Look what he goes on to say in verse 21. And people miss this, so watch carefully what it says because oftentimes we read it and also we make it say something it doesn't say. Verse 21, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than have known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered to them. I have people quote this verse and they say, that verse is saying it's better for them not to have known the way to be saved than to know the way to be saved and turn away. It doesn't say that. Notice what it says. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. The way of righteousness, he's not talking about the way of salvation. Literally in the Greek, it's saying the righteous way, how to live righteously. He's saying it would have been better for them not to have known how to live righteously than to know how to live righteously as a believer and do what? turn away from the holy commandment. If he was talking about salvation, he'd say, and turn away from who? Jesus Christ. He doesn't say turn away from Christ. He says turn away from commandment, the Word of God. You know what he's saying? It would have been better for that believer who puts their faith in Christ and then turns back and lives like an unbeliever. It had been better if they'd have never known the righteous lifestyle and the way they're supposed to live than to have known it and turn away from it. That's what he's saying. It's pretty powerful. And here's the truth. It is better to have not known how to live righteously and then turn away from it. Wow. See, false teachers, what do? They put you in bondage. This is a hard passage. And a lot of people read this the other way, but they're reading it wrong. It doesn't say it would have been better for them to have not known the way of salvation and then turn away. It doesn't say that at all. It says it's better for them not to have known the righteous way, the righteous lifestyle, than to know it and turn from the commandment, the truths of God's Word. You know what he says? They look just like an unbeliever. They're living just like an unbeliever. Let me ask you this. Can a believer look like an unbeliever? What's the answer? Yes. Look what verse 22 says. It has happened to them according to the true proverb. What's the true proverb? A dog returns to its own vomit. He goes back like it used to do. A sow, after washing, returns to the wallowing in the mire. He's saying a believer who lives that way goes back and lives the way that they used to live before they were a believer. Now, I know people use this verse to say, well, it's a pig. No, no, he's just saying they're living the way they used to live. Listen, I know people personally who have put their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have eternal life. And yet, if you knew them and saw how they lived, you could say, they sure don't look like a believer at all. And what he's saying is, these false teachers, they go after the unstable people, the people who haven't grown. They get them involved. They promise them freedom. They give them information. And before you know it, these people turn away from the truths of the Word of God, follow this false stuff, get caught up in the flesh, and before you know it, they're living just like unbelievers. And he says, it'd been better for them to have never known the righteous lifestyle way than to know it and turn away from it. Their last state is worse than their first state. Because it'd be better to be an unbeliever living like an unbeliever than to be a believer living like an unbeliever. It's pretty powerful. What have we seen? The false teachers are described by Peter in this, and he says six things. They're greedy, they're deceitful, they're bound for destruction, they're pride, they're fleshly, they're impure. He says they promise them freedom, but they bring bondage. You live by the flesh and you're overcome by the flesh. He says they go after the unstable believers, the new believers, the ones who haven't grown. They entice them with the flesh. They fall, and it's worse for them than it was before. Believers living like unbelievers. Let me give you two or three quick applications. We'll close. The first one is you need to be able to recognize false teachers. You need to be able to look at this passage and look at these things and see that they want your money, that they're deceitful, they're not true, they're bound for destruction, they're prideful and arrogant, they think they have the only right way, they are fleshly, they entice people to live by the flesh, and they are impure and sinful. You need to be able to recognize false teaching. Now, how in the world can we do that? That takes us to number two, and that means you need to be grounded in the truth of God's Word so that when you hear what they teach, you will be able to recognize that it is not according to the Scripture. That is a key. We have to be grounded, so we won't be fooled, so we won't be tossed to and fro, so that when we hear it, we won't be one of those unstable people that go, well, that sounds right to me. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. I think there's some problems in our churches, and that is that they're not teaching people the truths of God's Word. We're giving them events and programs, but not truth from God's Word so they can be grounded and grow. I think one of the biggest concerns with our church is the development of programs to meet people's felt needs rather than giving them the Word of God so they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look at verse of chapter 3. Look at verse 17. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, he's writing to Christians. He just called them beloved. Be on your guard. Watch yourself. Lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men. That's false teachers. Be careful. Don't get carried away by their errors. And you will fall from your own steadfastness. He's not talking about losing salvation. He's talking about falling from the grace and knowledge and growing and all of that. He says you're going to get like the pig and the dog. You're going to look just like an unbeliever. You're going to fall from your growth. Notice the next verse. Here's what he tells them to do. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The third thing to realize is that the flesh never brings freedom. It only brings bondage. We're to obey the Word of God rather than our flesh. We are free to serve our Savior. We are free to make a difference for Jesus Christ. May we be grounded in the truths of God's Word so we can recognize false teachers who promise freedom but actually bring bondage. And may we live for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and this passage. Lord, we know it's a hard passage. And Lord, we first of all pray that we'll be able to recognize the false teaching just by some of the things that they do, the whole idea of greedy and pride and all of those things. But Lord, second is we want to be grounded in your truths. We do not want to be as children tossed to and fro, but as believers, we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ so that we can recognize, so that we will not be carried away by the error of unprincipled men, so that we'll not be enticed by the fleshly things that pull us away and in a sense cause us to fall. But we realize that it is possible for believers to get entangled and fall and live just like unbelievers. And that's even a worse state than before. Lord, we pray that we will continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, that we'll be grounded, we'll realize the flesh can never bring freedom, but living by your word is where we are free to serve our Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name.